This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoen.
This Banner of Truth radio broadcast is based on the letter to the church in Smyrna, recorded for us in Revelation 2, verse 8 to 11. The seven letters to the seven churches are full of gospel instruction for us still today. The letter to the church in Ephesus gives such loving warning not to lose first love to God and His church. This next letter to the church in Smyrna teaches us how the faithful church will be a suffering church, but how the Lord will minister to His people and uphold them till the end and through death to eternal life. Will you hear and learn from the encouragement in God's ways from this letter to the church in Smyrna? The city of Smyrna is located about 50 kilometers north of Ephesus, and it too was a prosperous port city on the Aegean Sea. There was both a wealthy Jewish community in this city and a strong support for emperor worship in this city, being a city of key political importance, closely aligned with Rome. And both these parties made it difficult for the Christian church. Both these parties opposed and oppressed the Christian church in Smyrna. With this letter, the Lord makes clear throughout the ages, at different stages, in various ways and measures, the Christian church will be a suffering church. God's people will suffer tribulation and trial for Christ's sake. We can expect this. What comes across in this letter is how the suffering church is often also the most pure and God-honoring. Strikingly, the letter to Smyrna includes no rebuke from the Lord, but only commendation and exhortation. There probably were not many hypocrites in the church of Smyrna. This letter shows what often has proved to be so true in the history of the church, namely this: times of prosperity and freedom usually are not the best times for God's people in God's ways. But times of trial and affliction are often such blessed and good times in God's ways, as hard as the sufferings might be. Let us study this letter closer, then, especially in the light of the last phrase in verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This text speaks of suffering, but enduring in and through it all, and it tells of God's promise for all who seek to be faithful, even until death. The beginning of this letter makes clear that Smyrna was a suffering church. Christ says to this church in verse 9, I know your tribulation. In the original, the word tribulation is a word that speaks of being hard-pressed and suppressed by others. It was not so much that the church in Smyrna was being physically tormented at that time, and even killed for the gospel's sake, but rather they suffered severe social and economic persecution. I know your tribulation and poverty, the exalted Savior says from heaven. The word for poverty here refers to extreme poverty. These people had literally nothing to their name. They suffered the loss of all things for Christ's sake. There was organized resistance and boycott against them, you might say. The Christians had their properties and possessions confiscated and taken from them simply because of their testimony of Jesus and refusal to bow to the emperor. We are told one of the main reasons for their tribulation and poverty was due to the hostility and slander of the Jews against them. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, says the ascended Savior, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. The Jews in Smyrna, who quite likely could exercise a very powerful influence in the city on account of their wealth, made use of every opportunity to blacken the name of members of the Christian church in the city. The letter makes clear that these unbelieving Jews slandered Christians and made it hard for them in Smyrna and elsewhere, basically because of their bitter hatred against Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom the Christians confessed as only Savior and Lord. The Lord describes these Jews as actually those belonging to the synagogue of Satan. The Bible teaches us this is true of all who oppose Christ Jesus as only Savior and Lord. The church in Smyrna was a suffering, persecuted church, both from the Jews and from the Roman state, and yet how blessed they were too. This comes out in the letter most clearly in two ways, especially. For one, as I already mentioned, the Savior doesn't have one negative remark to say to this church. No criticism is given at all from the exalted, all-seeing, all-knowing Savior in heaven. This doesn't mean the Christians in Smyrna were sinless, but they continued steadfast in the faith, in all honesty and diligence and hope. Yes, even under the difficult circumstances they were in. At the same time, while the Lord does not say anything negative about the church there, yet He does say something very positive. He calls them rich. In verse 9, "But thou art rich." What does this make clear? The church of Smyrna lived for eternal values that would never change. They had focus and hold on spiritual and heavenly riches that could never be taken away. Though outwardly poor and inwardly needy of themselves, they were nevertheless inwardly and eternally rich, looking unto Jesus and trusting Him and all His promises and provisions for them. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 about Christ Jesus and His grace, stating, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." How infinitely rich we become in and through Jesus Christ, delivered by grace through faith in Him. Who can say the value of being delivered from all the guilt of sin and punishment of sin and strengthened against the bondage of sin for ultimate and full release thereof one eternal day? Isn't this the gospel message? True wealth is not to be measured by our material possessions or social status, but rather it's a matter of true spiritual life which God gives in Christ Jesus. The Christians in Smyrna had nothing, yet they had everything, being Christians. Does this make sense to you, dear friends, what God writes in this letter? Do you show in your life diligent pursuit after what makes for true and eternal riches? Too many are they who are always busy striving to get everything they can here below, and are in reality abysmally poor, not being right with God. Jesus said once, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you," as God knows is best for us and His glory. The Christians of Smyrna understood these words of Jesus and desired to live accordingly. Can the same be said for you and for me? Can the same be said of you? Would the Savior say of you today, regardless your situation and status, "But you are rich"? What a commendation this was and is. The church in Smyrna, the believers there were poor but yet so rich, seeing also how Christ the Savior so cared for them. Notice with me here at least the four following tremendous facts about Christ for His people, especially also His afflicted and tried people, as comes out in this short letter to the suffering church of Smyrna. For one, see how Christ introduces Himself to this church. He introduces Himself in accordance to their needs and in harmony with their situation, most fittingly and most tenderly. To this church, suffering so under persecution and tribulation, facing death, as it were, from her persecutors, Christ now introduces Himself, saying, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." How encouraging, right from the start. The church in Smyrna is in the middle of a great struggle, even unto death, and the Lord here announces Himself to them as the Living One. The Living One who has passed through death and is now alive forevermore. They were living under the shadow of death, and He tells them that He who was dead and is alive stands by them as their Savior and Lord. As He was victorious, so through His victory before them and on their behalf, He will also lead them to be victorious, no matter what. Then notice next how Christ, as exalted Savior, so identifies with His people in their sufferings. He says to them, "I know your works and tribulation and poverty," etc. The word "know" here refers to personal acquaintance with their sufferings, yes, from His own experience even. What tribulation and contradiction of sinners Christ suffered when here on earth. What evil and temptations and assaults from Satan himself Jesus endured in His salvation work as the captain of our salvation. what poverty and ridicule and isolation and shame he all suffered as the just for the unjust, even to death, yes, even to death on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus here says, "I know what you are going through," it was the honest truth. It was not just something he knew by observation, but by participation from his own experience as Savior of sinners. Let no one ever think Jesus can't possibly understand what you are all going through, suffering one trial or another, especially also for the gospel's sake. The truth is, Jesus Christ understands better than anyone else ever could, and he offers you and me his help in all our needs and trials. The third way the Savior reveals himself as so precious comforter for his people is in how he oversees and overrules all the sufferings of his people for the ultimate glory of his name and the blessing and extension of his church. The Lord says in verse 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer, for all is in his control, and he will work out all things for good for his people, no matter what the assaults of evil and Satan against his church." See how the Lord shows his full control of the sufferings, not only knowing what was coming and how some would actually be thrown in prison, but Jesus adds, "You shall have tribulation 10 days. The number 10 here suggests completeness, not only, but briefness as well. They will be fully tested in the furnace of affliction, but not in vain and not forever, but only for a short while and for spiritual gain and the glory of God. The Christians in Smyrna, even in most trying circumstances, could be so encouraged by Christ's demonstration of his sovereign control over all. No matter what resistance comes from wherever or whoever, Jesus reigns. So Christians today may also be encouraged. Christ Jesus is King of Kings, and his hand is not shortened on behalf of his people. That the Lord Jesus Christ is so precious a champion for his suffering church also comes out in those reassuring promises to the Christians in Smyrna in verse 10 and 11. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, and he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." The second death refers to eternal death and everlasting hell. It will not touch God's people who continue faithful in God's ways, looking to Jesus and persevering in true faith and faithfulness until the end. God's people will receive the crown of life, that is everlasting life in glory in heaven. The true church of Jesus Christ in all ages will be in some measure a suffering church. God's true people will be an afflicted people on this earth, strangers and pilgrims to an eternal city. Is this the church you want to belong to and will be part of and be promoting? "Be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The promises of Jesus make all sufferings and self-denials and trials in following after him forever worth it, beyond measure. Come then, be faithful, be committed, be obedient, be steadfast. Keep on keeping on, step by step, day by day, always and again, looking unto Jesus, the Savior, and following after him, and you will not be put to shame. Thus says the Lord in his letter to the church in Smyrna, a letter for God's people still today. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. The postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.